I would ask you to pray for those who were in attendance yesterday's funeral and not saved.
Amen.
My brother and sister are two of them, that they certainly heard the gospel again. I just pray that God will continue to work and soften their hearts.
Amen.
Now, I thank Ben for being willing to fill in for me this morning. We'll be picking up with our study in Revelation again tonight, but just to give me a break from traveling all day yesterday and everything, I asked him to preach for me this morning. So, Ben, give us what you got.
All right. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, we'll begin reading here in verse 1 and go down through verse 5. Oftentimes, I don't know how a lot of, you know, somebody preaches all the time and what, how they decide to preach, and that's always an issue, I think. And but you know, most of the time when I preach a message, it's because it's something that I dealt with or I'm dealing with or I'm thinking about. And so when your preacher says something's on your heart, it's something you've been kind of zeroing in on. And so it's something I've been kind of zeroing in on here in my own life. And anyway, Psalm 42, let's go here to verse 1. The Bible says, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord, would you please open our minds, our hearts? You said the entrance of your words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I pray, God, that you that your words would enter our hearts, our minds today. You'd illumine us. And Lord, you give us some very practical things this morning that'll help us in deal with this matter of being cast down, with this matter of depression and anxiety. Well, thank you for what you're going to do in Christ's name. Amen. So as we come into Psalm 42, here again, David here is, he's spiritually, he's emotionally distraught, really. He's depressed, right? It's probable that this particular psalm relates to when David's son Absalom was trying to take his kingdom and trying to take his throne and everything. And of course, he gathered up a big army to come in and really take out his dad. And of course, things weren't handled right with David, David's family at that time. And David had some sin and different things in his life. And you know, the prophet told him that the sword will not depart from your house. And so David had some issues, but there's one thing about this man named David. He was still a man after God's own heart. Hey, people mess up. And it happens. And David had some sin that he dealt with and some different things, but he would always come to the Lord in humility, and the Lord would restore him. And God said he's a man after God's own heart. You see, David had this one thing in his life that he did desire. And that was simply, he wanted a red-hot relationship with God. That's what he wanted. He desired that. Yep, he messed up. Yep, he got in low places. Been there.
Amen.
You know. And so here's David. Absalom's coming in. They hear the plans, and David heads out into the field. He's got his army and everything out there with him, his men of war. But he's scared to death. He's betrayed. He's hurt. Yeah. He's down. And you know, he's got a lot of questions and a lot of doubt. And so here he is. His son had totally disgraced him and betrayed him. So listen, here's his deal. He's got some family problems. Happens, right? Yeah. He's got political problems. Well, we know about that, right? What a mess, right? He's got sleepless nights. Physically, he's probably drained. He's up in years, no doubt. And he's just trying to keep it together. I just want to give you three things this morning from this passage. Three things that'll help you battle depression. Three things that'll help you battle, whether it's depression or anxiety, three things. And the first thing is, in verses 1 and 2 here, I want you to see something that'll help you battle this thing is a thirst for God. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The Bible says, as the hart. Of course, the hart's a deer. All right? The hart's a deer. And David says here in verse 2, he's talking about the water brooks and how that deer desires to be near those water brooks and everything and to be in them. And he says this in verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? You see, for David, fellowship with God meant that he had to be in Jerusalem, in the temple, because that was the known dwelling place of God in the Old Testament. All right? And here he finds himself running from his enemies like a wild animal in the wilderness. He feels far from the Lord, and yet he desires the Lord's presence and comfort, and yet to no avail. I'd say that every one of us this morning in this room knows about the feeling of anxiety, being overwhelmed.
Amen.
Life gets us down, folks. Different circumstances, different situations from time to time, the advantage that David had here is that he had a relationship with the living God. He knew God. And the Bible says that he thirsteth for God. You're here this morning to have that first prerequisite of dealing with this emotional instability and these thoughts and this being down and all these kind of things. Listen, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Need him desperately. He died on the cross to save us from our sins. You know, every one of us deserve hell.
Right.
Plain and simple.
Yeah. Amen.
But Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived for 33 years in this earth. And he died on the cross. But let me say this. He gave his life.
Yeah. Yes.
No man taketh it from me. He gave his, is what he said. He gave his life on the cross. And with his blood, he bought those that will receive him, receive his forgiveness. But as many as received him, John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power or the authority to become the children of God. It's up to you, it's a choice. There's a lot of teaching out there in different churches and different religiosity and all that thing. Oh yeah, well, Jesus died for everybody, and everybody saved somewhere. No. It's choice.
Right.
That's called universalism, and that's a doctrine from hell. And folks would say all that to say, listen, the truth is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You need him. And listen, if you're going to have to deal with these things and you're going to have him, listen, he's the bishop of our souls, folks.
Amen.
He's our daddy, Abba, Father. Says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba. That's a heartfelt cry of a child to his daddy. And it's a relationship. It's not a set of rules. It's not a certain baptism. It's a spiritual baptism. It is that. When you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, Christ lives in you, and you live in him.
Yeah.
Part of the church. I don't mean just this church or just any church down the road. I'm talking about his bride. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Do you know? Let me ask you this. Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Talk about confidence in him. Do you know? Dear friend, you can know.
That's right.
According to this book. And David here,
that's with you.
had a heart for God. He knew the Lord, and the Bible, and that heart could be a deer in the Bible. It's a deer, it's a stag, it's a hind, or different names for deer. And oftentimes, back in that day, they would hunt these animals with dogs, all right? And so these dogs would chase these deer, these harts, and they'd completely be worn out and exhausted. They would run to the water brooks. They would wade up to their chest to be cooled and to drink of that water. One man said that he was a guy that lived over in central Syria. And he said that he'd seen these panting deer gather around these water brooks in big numbers. And he commented on how close, because you know how a deer is, it sees you, it's gone. But he commented how close you could get to these deer while they were sitting in this water. Why, those deer didn't want to leave. They were cooled in that water. They were coming in that water. And they saw those men coming. They just hang. Why? Because they were thirsty. They were cooled. They wanted to stay in spite of the fear of men. And folks, listen, when the dogs of heartbreak, when the dogs of worry, when the dogs of fear, when the dogs of depression and stress are on your heels, don't you want to run to the water? If you don't know him, you can't run to him.
Amen.
Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and he will sup with me. I with him. I love it. But I with him. Hey, listen. When you have supper with somebody, that's fellowship.
Amen.
Do you have that relationship with him? How's that old hymn go? And he walks with me and he talks with me and tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Well, that's beautiful.
Amen.
That's what that is. That's relationship. That's what the world needs.
Amen.
Doesn't need religion. Sorry. Doesn't need it. Despicable. No, we need a relationship with Jesus Christ that won't quit.
Amen.
I don't know how people listen. He's our sanity, folks.
Amen.
This world's crazy.
Yeah.
You know. Nope, he's the only one that could calm those fears and those anxieties and bind up that broken heart. Fellowship and meditating upon him. Isaiah 44 and verse 3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. I'm talking about water. I'm talking about relief. I'm talking about life. Light, not darkness. John 7, verse 7 and verse 37 and 38, Jesus said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me. He was going to say, out of his belly. Let him come unto me and drink. And by the way, if you look at that now, when you take the Bible, you need to meditate on that. You need to know what it says and why it says it. If you look at the verses and the context there, believing, or should I say drinking, is equated with believing. That's what it is. Come unto me and drink. You look at that. It's belief. Faith.
Yeah.
The just shall walk by faith. You're saved by faith, but listen, you walk by faith.
Amen.
So if any man thirst, come unto me and let him drink. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Revelation 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Folks, we need him. He's the good shepherd of the sheep, Psalm 23. 1 Peter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Watch this, I love this. Casting all your care upon him.
Amen.
Where he cares for you. Now either that's a truth, or it's a lie.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, he cares for you. He's reaching out. He's saying, come to me. You got all these problems in your life? You got things you're worried about? You got things going on? You come to me because I'll take care of it.
Yeah,
it may not all go away. It might not. No, but I want to tell you something. The gracious Savior will give you the encouragement, the empowerment, should I say, and the grace to get through whatever it is you're dealing with.
Amen.
Because he cares, because you're his child.
Yeah,
are you his child this morning? Oh, you need to be. He loves you. He's our refuge, our strength, our strong tower, our rock, our fortress. You know, what the hymn says in the Bible is that he doeth all things well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a friend of sinners. Mm-hmm. Boy, am I glad.
Amen.
I need that friend. He desires to speak to you as a man speaks to his friend. And he's the only thing that can satisfy he's the only one that can satisfy our thirsty souls. That old hymn that said, all the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Number one, need a thirst for God. But I'm just parking there. I just want to say, if you're going to quench that thirst, if you're going to have that thirst for God, you got to know it. And if you're here today and you say, yeah, well, I do know God, but boy, I have a hard time getting in the Bible. I have a hard time meditating on God's word. Hey, listen, ask him for it.
Yes.
Lord, please help me with this.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, though, you're down, you're depressed, listen, you're so thirsty you can't stand it. And you need him. That's the answer.
Yes, amen.
You see? Let that thirst and that depression of that that anxiety run you to the Savior.
Amen.
Get away from the dogs. You see. He'll do it. He'll do it. So number one, we need to thirst for God. Number two, to battle this anxiety, this depression in our lives, we need to know the cause of it. Look at verse 5. It says here, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Isn't it interesting? The Bible is a roadmap for life. Yeah. You know, number one, yeah, we need to have that thirst, but the second thing is, you need to know the cause of your anxiety. You just makes sense. You need to know what's going on with you. The soul's that part of man that enables him to think and to reason. According to verse 5, these things that can think and reason can get cast down. They can be, the Bible says, disquieted, troubled. The human heart and soul so closely connected in Scripture, and I've heard different theologians say, well, the heart's this, the heart's that. And I'm sure that you can sort that out. I haven't been not quite smart enough to do that yet, I guess. But nonetheless, in order to combat these feelings or these thoughts in our souls, okay, we need to pinpoint why. Why do I feel this way? Why am I down? And the Bible's given us a roadmap here of to how to have mental and emotional stability. You know, you hear that, you know, ignorance is bliss. Not in this case. What you don't know won't hurt you. Proverbs 19:2 says, also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. That's what it says. It's not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. But listen, now watch this. Don't miss this. Yeah. Dealing with yourself and your emotions. I know we don't want to focus on us. We're going to focus on others. I get that. But listen, you got to have peace with God before you're going to do anything for God. Mm-hmm. You got to have confidence. Know that you have a relationship with him, and that you're walking with him before you're going to do anything for anybody else.
Amen.
Okay? And listen, I'm going to say right now, you've got to take the time. We're busy.
Amen.
We're busy. I know I'm busy. I'm too busy. There's that thing called the Jason, it's a hamster wheel. You get on the hamster wheel, and you run this hamster wheel life, and that thing's spinning. I think mine has bells on sometimes. I don't know. You know what I mean? And listen, because it just constantly pounds you. No, you got to take time. Well, I got this going on. I got that going on. Listen, you have to take time, because Jesus Christ, listen, he's the calmer and he's the healer.
Amen.
He's the comforter. That's what it says.
Yes, amen.
Let him comfort you. But you gotta take time out. Pit stop.
Yep.
No, take time.
Amen.
Pinpoint the reason. Think of, why am I depressed? Why am I dealing with this? And sometimes sometimes we get discouraged and we don't even know why. Yes, it happens. It does. I think of that hymn, what helps me sometimes. I said it before, I sit in my chair at home and nothing's going on. And there's really nothing even wrong necessarily, but I'm like feeling just kind of empty, you know. And that's when we just got to choose. Watch this. We need to choose to be filled in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean, that name above all names, you know. Choose to be satisfied in him. I think of that old hymn, Trusting Jesus. Now, forget how that goes.
Every day.
Hold on. Trusting. Well, I can't remember it now, but that's okay. No. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting him as the moments fly, trusting him as the days go by, trusting him whatever befall. I love this part. Trusting Jesus, that's all. Listen, folks, that book's simple.
Yeah.
Yes, there's things we don't understand about it. I get that. There's things we could hash out and, oh, what about this and what about that? Yeah, I get it. But there's some things in that book that are just rock solid. Every Christian on earth is going to say, yeah, that's what that is.
Yep. Yeah.
Glory.
Yeah.
You stand on that. And it's simple. It's childlike faith.
Yeah.
That book was written so the dumbest plow boy could understand it.
Yes, amen.
That's what it was. Good for me. It's good for me. Yeah. Simplicity. Yep. Because I'll tell you, you can get in a real mess. I like to hunt, you know. I like to get out in the woods and it don't take as much time as I'd like to do that, though. I will say that. But I've seen it when there's this big old pine tree, you know. And the top of it is one of those big old gray owls. And that old boy's up in the top of that thing, and you hear these crows just gah, gah, gah. I mean, they're going after him, and they're dive bombing him. You know what I mean? They're after him, and the next thing, and then in the midst of that, you'll hear the old owl go, whoo. he's like, come on, man, I'm tired of this, right? And all the next thing you know, this big limb will start shaking up there, and the old owl, he lifts off, and he glides out. And he's about three times bigger than those crows. But boy, are they dive bombing right through the air. And he's trying to shake them and all that. And I say all that to say, you know, that's how our thoughts can be in our mind.
Yeah.
Well, the crows are noisy, they're persistent, they're ruthless, and our thoughts can be that way, folks.
Yeah.
And they take shots at us in midair. They attack our mind and our emotions, and it weighs us down, and our souls get cast down. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. You see, David here in this passage knows that the Lord will help him. It's interesting. What's glorious about this book, what's glorious about, you know, really the book of Psalms is that this man that was after God's own heart, his prayer life was written down for us. I love that. I need that. And so here he is. He's telling the Lord. And don't you love it? He says, pour your heart out before me, for God is a refuge for us. So he says in Psalms several different times. He says, pour your heart out before the Lord. God wants to know what you think. He wants to know what you feel. But run it through the book then. We got wrong thoughts a lot of times.
Yeah.
we got some selfish things. We got some deal. We've got issues. That's why we need Christ.
Yes.
People say, well, I'm not going to go to church, and I'm not going to do this. All those people are a bunch of hypocrites. Well, join the club. We're all hypocrites. That's why we need Jesus Christ. Because we are. We got to work out these things.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and quicker we get that, we'll be happier. We'll be happier in the Lord, right? So and look at verse 9. It says, I will say unto God my rock. Now listen, this is in the middle of David's complaint. He's all down, he's depressed, but in the middle of it, watch it now. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Here he is, he's depressed. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God in my life. And then, of course, verse 9 talks about how God forgot him again. Listen, he's waiting. Don't you and I do that? It's like, well, I'm trusting the Lord with all my heart, and I'm leaning out there and understanding, bam, I'm falling right back in my face again. It's like,
yeah.
swing good and bad. It's like, well, wait a minute. We do that. Why? Because we're human.
Yeah.
That's what we are. And we have needs, and we don't have it all together. That's why we need him. And so David here, you know, he's expressing this, and he's going back and forth between faith and what do you want to call it? Faith and folly, or whatever, faith and whatever, unbelief. And he's talking this out, and his prayer life here is penned down, and guess what? It's okay to talk it out. It's okay to feel that way.
Yeah.
But go to him.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Why do I keep on mourning because of the enemy? You know, again, this question also needs answer. I mean, he's got things in his mind, but you know, there is a real enemy, isn't there?
Yes.
He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It's Satan.
Yes, amen.
Your adversary, the devil, is roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a battle going on in the air. There's demons. There's evil spirits. There's things going on we can't see. They're in a, what do you call it, different dimension. It's phenomena. The world has all kinds of funny things for these things, and these UFO sightings and all those different things. I mean, listen. Listen, the book of Ezekiel talks about those wheels, folks. They're saucers, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. There's stuff that goes on, you know. But the Bible says we wrestle against that.
Right.
It's a struggle. Wrestle means to struggle, to strive, to contend with. Satanic demonic forces have a way of magnifying our already hard situation in our minds, right? To tax us, to tax our souls. And we need to recognize that, and we need to understand that if you are a child of God, you are bought. Watch this: you're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and you must realize that you are His possession. And this right here, and if you're saved this morning, this here's private property.
Yeah, amen.
You need to exercise faith on that. No, no. We need to exercise faith. No, wait a minute. Those thoughts aren't right. No. I claim blood over me. This posted property. Get out.
Yeah.
We belong to him.
Yeah.
And it's the only way, dear friend, you're going to stay sane is to recognize that this here is posted property. Nothing going on here. It's not supposed to be going on. But we need to recognize, and that's why we need the book.
Yeah.
And that's why we need the Spirit of the living God. That's why we need the Holy Spirit of God to illumine our minds and our hearts as we read this. And if you're saved, he lives in you.
Amen.
But the devil is an oppressor. Satan is, Acts 10 verse 38 makes it very clear that people are oppressed by the devil. The cause of a cast down soul is wrong or excessive thoughts about, could be past circumstances, could be present circumstances, could be something that didn't even happen yet, and it may never happen, right?
No.
And we must, before the Lord, pinpoint and identify what, why we feel the way we do. Why is my soul cast down? Why do I keep allowing the enemy to oppress me? Why, you know, and it might be, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's good to talk things out. It's good to take things before the Lord and ask things out. But sometimes we've had experiences in our past life that maybe, you know, that maybe aren't so good to hash out in our minds all the time anymore. There's a time to cast images down too, folks.
Right.
There's a time to say, what did the Apostle Paul say there in Philippians 3:13? He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind.
Yes.
He talks about pressing toward the mark. Christianity isn't passive, it's active.
Yeah.
It's active, it's on the attack. We're to walk circumspectly, for the days are evil. Like a soldier looking for enemy targets or enemy traps or snares or whatever. And it's passive or it's active. And so sometimes we've got to let it behind. Okay, we're heading forward.
Yeah.
We're heading forward now. We had all that. I know. And we've got that figured out. We've got that. We've got to deal with that, whether you needed forgiveness in that part of thing or healing in that or whatever it is. But we still got to go forward. And we got to press toward that mark, no matter how bad it is, you know. And allow the Lord to love you through it. So number one, a thirst for God. Number two, we need to know the cause of anxiety and depression But number three is we need to hope in God. Look at verse 5 here. It says, "Why art thou cast down, my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" And here's the answer. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. His countenance is his face. It's seeking his face. The Bible talks about seeking God's face. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. I want that. I want to be that. Do you want to be that? You want to be that? We need to, it also says, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite. Watch this. That is of a contrite and humble spirit to revive. Who's he going to revive? The spirit of the humble. And he's going to revive the spirit of the contrite ones. Humility. It's saying, Lord, I don't have this all figured out. It's saying to other people that you deal with, you know, you're not the best at whatever it is that you're talking about, and you don't have it figured out. It's not having that edge. God revives those people that have humility. By humility, Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. It's humility. It's being able to say, you know what? I messed this up. You know what? I've been lying about this for years. You know, I need to go make that thing right with somebody, whatever it is. I'm tired of playing the game. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ, so to speak, may I say, will, as he walks the corridors of heaven, will stop in his tracks to hear that cry of repentance from one of his own.
Amen.
Or from one that's calling out to him that's not his own yet. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Adam didn't seek him in the garden, folks. When Eve took of the fruit and Adam was there hanging out with her or whatever, allowing this thing to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, God says, "Where art thou, Adam?" He's seeking you. Hope thou in God. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about Abraham, of Noah, of Enoch. Talks about Moses and Joseph and how they lived by faith. Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. Now listen to this. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Hear it? "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now watch this. Lay aside every weight. A weight could be any... listen, if I'm going to run up here to Rich Brown's, okay, and I'm going to run up to tell him something, I'm not going to run over here and I'm going to strap this piano on the back. "Help me right up, Rich!" No. Why? I need to lay aside the weights, man. I got to get up there. And half of us are running through life, maybe all of us, running through life with these weights strapped on us, and they're sins, or they're misconceptions, or they're lies that we're believing, or whatever it is. Or there's a bunch of bitterness or anger that we carry. Amen. You know, whatever it is. We deal with these things, and we just, they're big weights. Yeah. We're trying to walk through life. Can't do it. And then it goes on to say this. It says, "And the sin with the so easily accepts." Do you know what that sin is in context there? Well, it's the faith chapter.
Yeah.
Here's 11. Yeah. It's unbelief. The sin of unbelief, watch this, the sin of unbelief is like a darkness and a cancer that presses your soul. Why is my soul cast down? Because I don't believe what really God said about me and about this situation and about how he's going to take care of me. I don't believe it. So the darkness, the cancer, takes your soul and just, wow. That's darkness. That's not light.
Amen.
That's darkness. And that's why I need to hope in God.
Yes.
And that's why you need to hope in God.
Amen.
Because there's hope with him. I was reading this one commentary. Well, I tell you, it was old Spurgeon, right? And reading it, and he said, he was mentioning, I can't understand half the thing man says in his book, but I read it and get out what I can, okay? So anyway, he said, imagine you had Pandora's box. I'm not sure what all that is, but a box, and it had all the things that you are scared to death in your entire life, all those horrible things that may happen or did happen or might happen again, and you start ripping them out. You start pulling them out. This might make sense to you, it might not. It did to me. You get to the bottom of that thing. And then the old preacher says, you know, that's the best part about hoping God. You get to the bottom of that.
Yes.
It's all done.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Amen.
You see. And we're talking about, hey, yep, things happen. Hard things happen. But there's an end. Because someday he's going to wipe away all tears. Amen.
Amen.
He's going to wipe those things away. He's going to take care of it. He's like that shepherd grabbing that little sheep and that little lambie and carrying them in his bosom. You know, there were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. I dare not sing it. I shouldn't sing it. I used to sing that to my kids, and I'd talk about that wolf being way out there and how that sheep, I'd put the whole story and try to make it rhyme. Didn't work out. But the kids loved it. Dad, sing the song, 99. They learned right quick the wolf was right there, you know, and the only one that did the saving was Jesus Christ right there.
Amen.
He did the mending too, and he bound up the wounds, didn't he, kids? He does it. But we need this unbelief is what besets us. Now I'm going to give this illustration. We're almost done here, all right? But and it probably isn't the best one, but I'm going to get what I got here this morning, and you put your situation in this, okay? I remember I was second semester of Bible college, and I was about 25, 26 years old, and I so badly wanted a wife, okay? That's not funny. I wanted a life partner, right? And I did since I got saved, you know, it was a trial for me. I don't care. I was down, I was depressed, I felt alone. No doubt, and whatever, okay? And I went to the Lord one day, and there was nobody in the dorm room. Now, we had 12 people in the dorm room. We were stacked up like cordwood in those bunk beds, okay? Because the school didn't really care how comfortable you were, okay? They didn't really care. So, anyway, but everybody was out of there, and that was unusual. I get down on my knees, and I said, Lord, I even expressed to him, why am you bringing somebody in my life? I've been praying about this for 5 years, and almost angry with him. I know it's sin. That's why you pour your heart out before him. That's what he wants, and you work it out.
Right. Yes.
That's what you do in a marriage. Hello, that's what you do. That's why your marriage ain't gonna last neither. Okay, it's a relationship. Okay.
Yes.
Except Jesus Christ is perfect. That's the difference when two of the people in the house, not so much. But anyway, no, they're not. So anyway, I gave this thing over, and I waited on him in prayer, folks. There's something special about your prayer time with the Lord and your meditation on the Word of God that you need to you need to just wait on Him every once in a while. Yeah. And I mean silent. Let Him speak to you. Let Him bring verses to your mind. Let Him bring situations to mind. Let Him bring names to your mind. Let Him speak to you. And I'll tell you, He spoke so clearly that afternoon. I don't forget it. He said something like, yeah, well, you're all worried about that, and you're worried about that more than you are about me. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And I got to the point where I thought he says, and I said, Lord, you know, and it took a while. I'm thick between my ears. It took a while. And I said, I got to the point. I said, Lord, you know, it doesn't matter because you are worthy to serve.
Amen.
Whether I'm married, whether I'm not, whether I'm happy, whether or not. Well, main thing is, that you, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And about that old missionary cry, I believe it was the Moravian missionaries, they said, worthy is the Lamb that was slain that he might receive the reward for sufferings. He should receive the reward for his sufferings. And after that, it was done. Because it says right here, look at this. I'll be done. We'll be done here. It says Psalm 43, right there. It says, by the way, these two psalms here, they're a little bit connected. You got the same phrase. Look here. It says, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and thy tabernacles. To us, that's fellowship. Then will I go unto the altar unto God. Watch this. My exceeding joy is Jesus Christ, your exceeding joy. Are you, Christian, abandoned to him? In other words, everything else, are you abandoned to the Lord? Everything else doesn't matter. What do you want, Lord? What do you want? Your exceeding joy. Is he your exceeding joy? The Bible says, hope thou in God. You guys know what happened in Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul was in, got all beat up and all that. And he's in that, him and Silas are in the prison, and they start singing hymns. They start praying. What does it say? About midnight, I guess?
Yeah.
Earthquake hit that place, busted them right out.
Yeah.
Listen, there's power in praise. There's power in prayer. And it busts away the prisons, busts away the boundaries, it busts away the shackles. And it sets us free. Hope
Amen.
Thou in God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word and for your goodness. And I pray that you work in each one of my brothers and sisters' heart, including this preacher. I pray that we do the right thing and that we really come to you and recognize that you are life and you are light and you are not bondage at all. The truth sets free, and I praise you. Have your will in your way, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Yeah,
Pastor, you want to come?